This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Stance in terms of extension heading in the year, would you talk during the year?
I'd rather not. I feel like it could be a distraction for myself, and I don't exactly want to be here in the clubhouse talking about it with my teammates around me. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like it kind of just takes focus away from, you know, being where our feet are, and that's just, you know, whether we're in, you know, halfway through the year, first month of the year, or, you know, let's say we're fighting for a playoff spot and I'm over here talking about me, I don't want to take away from what the team's doing.
So the last thing in that respect, is there sort of a, when that starts, you know, is that a cutoff? Like, is it when the first pitch is thrown?
Yeah. Well, the conversation that we've had is just opening day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Jones and Kiefer on WEEI. It's Garrett Crochet on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with Rob Bradford. It's your opening day starter, 8 days from today.
Nice.
I'm imagining a lot of people are going to say it's 1 week away tomorrow. We're trying to get in front of that.
We're way up front.
Leapfrogging that by
a week and
by
a day.
Yeah, it's an Antoine Walker 8 days away is what that is.
Nice.
So we'll get into Garrett Crochet, his contract negotiations. He says he doesn't want to talk about it in season. Opening day, kind of the line in the sand. What do we make of that? And what's the holdup in signing Garrett Crochet? Is it him? Is it the team? 617-779-7937. We ticked through a bunch of positional battles for the Red Sox. Second base, closer, and the back end of their rotation. Sounds like Christian Campbell going to be your opening day second baseman. Although, as Keith pointed out, Marcelo Meyer getting the start at second today.
Who's been much better at the plate this spring than either Campbell or Roman Anthony, if you want to throw him in. If you look at the three young guns that we're all looking forward to seeing at some point, he's been the best hitter of the group.
It's interesting, though. A year ago, if you said Marcelo Meyer is the second base, people would be stoked. People would be like, hell yeah.
Let's get him out there.
Now it's kind of like Campbell's leapfrogged him, and Meyer's had some injuries, and the shine is off a little bit.
But a texter also pointed out Trevor Story already had to get scratched from a game because of a back. Yeah, so, at some point,
all these guys are going to be in there.
They might all be playing. Like in the middle of May, or even before that, you might have Marcelo Meyer at short and Campbell at second, and Anthony, you might be taking one of the outfield spots.
Very accurate.
So they all need to be ready.
Very, very accurate. A year ago, you'd say, oh, wow, Marcelo Meyer is in the mix to make the opening day roster. Great. Yeah. Here we go. Let's go. Now you're kind of like, wait a minute, Christian Campbell should be in front of him. But it sounds like Campbell will break camp as the opening day second baseman, is what the odds are, not a done deal.
Which is great, because that's also not a cheap move, right? So this season, they spent some money. Now, we'll get into Crochet. They didn't spend money yet on Crochet.
No.
But Bregman was real money. Walker Buehler, even for a one-year deal, was a lot for 1 year. And so if you take all the young guys and stash them, and then call them up and manipulate the service time a little bit, that is kind of like a cheap-ish move. But if you're willing to start Campbell right off the rip, that means I think you're prioritizing winning more than saving a few bucks.
Well, and you wonder, is there conflict there where Cora, and maybe even I'll even give the baseball ops people credit for this. It was, how did McAdam and Cotillo put it? Like, the organization wants it. What is it again? He appears to be the favorite
makers.
In the mind of team decision makers. So I'll even give baseball ops credit. Maybe they all want Campbell and they all see the same thing. Hamilton's a utility guy. Who knows what Vaughn Grissom even is? So they're all the same right now, and Campbell has the highest ceiling. Go with the kid. And maybe it's ownership looking at it and saying, well, we want control. This is the plan. We don't want to start the service time on these guys. So maybe that's part of the negotiation. Maybe there is friction in baseball ops and the manager for sure and ownership. But it sounds like Campbell is the favorite to win that job. Closer is Aroldis Chapman. Rotation after your top three is a little scary.
Yeah, kind of falls off a little bit.
Which maybe illustrates why the Red Sox are third in the division behind the Yankees and Orioles, which is perplexing until you start looking at the rotation and maybe it makes a little more sense. 617-779-7937. On Crochet, he said to Bradfo, and you heard it there, the conversation we had is opening day. I'd rather not talk about a contract during the season. I feel like it could be a distraction, and I don't want to be in the clubhouse talking about it with my teammates around me. It's one of those things where I feel like it takes focus away, blah, 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 blah. We've heard all this before. We just heard it with the manager last year. Cora said the same thing.
Yeah, things can change.
Not going to negotiate in season. Don't want to negotiate in season. Don't want it to be a distraction. Lo and behold, middle of the season, Cora gets a big fat contract extension. If the Red Sox give him his number, he'll talk contract all day, or at least his agent will. What's the holdup? Why do you think nothing has been reached to this point? And do you think Crochet is holding out for every last dollar? Do you think the Red Sox are just waiting it out because they don't want to spend? Like, what do you think the holdup is?
So I think in a weird way, it almost benefits both to play out the season. And, you know, there's advantages to both to getting a deal done now. Obviously, if you're the Red Sox, you traded a top prospect for this guy. He has the potential to be an ace for years to come, so you want to lock him up. But he's never had a full season in the majors. So I feel like if he proves that he can be healthy for 33 starts and approaches 200 innings. I know that number is, you know, not a lot of guys even hit that anymore, but let's say he gets close to that. He could ask for a ton and he'd be justified in getting it. And if you're the Red Sox, maybe that's what you're thinking too. Be like, all right, here's a guy who was on a pitch count last year. He's come off multiple injuries. It's really all about potential. So like, how high a number are they willing to go? And so they might offer him what they think is a fair deal, but not like a record-setting deal, where he's like, I should probably just bet on myself for 1 year. And then the flip side, it might cost the Red Sox more money, but wouldn't they be more confident in giving him that kind of deal if they see it for a season?
Well, that's what's scary to me.
How big that number could jump?
Yeah, because to me, I look at it and I go, you're the Red Sox. I don't care what he costs. If he's good, pay it. I don't care. So I'm fine with you waiting. You can wait 2 years to pay him if you want. I don't care. Go crazy. But if he's good, you better give him the contract.
Right.
What's my confidence level they'll actually deliver on that? And if they're really worried about dollars and cents, payroll, locking it in, pay him now. Pay him now.
I could see him then saying no.
Well, correct. And so what's that number? And are the Red Sox maybe not insulting, but beneath his number? Perhaps that's going on. Maybe they do want to pay him, but they're not going to give him what he thinks he deserves, rather. And so he holds out for it. But I have no problem with the Red Sox waiting this out if they're going to pay him. I don't know that I fully trust they're going to give him a massive contract. I don't know that I have a full degree of confidence. They haven't done that with anybody outside of Devers, Bregman included. They haven't done that.
All right, so the biggest contracts for pitchers in baseball, there are four that have a total value of over $200 million.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, because a lot of these guys, they end up signing deals later. So and then some of the guys, too.
You're not counting Ohtani, obviously.
No, I'm not. I'm not counting Ohtani. But his teammate, Yamamoto, has the biggest contract in total value. Mm-hmm. 12 years, $325 million.
They were in on him, right?
No.
Well,
Gerrit Cole.
Okay.
He is on a 9-year, $324 million deal. So the average annual is much higher, but he's $1 million less overall. Max Fried.
They were
also
in on him.
Yankees. They were so close.
Okay.
8 years, 218.
Uh-huh.
And he was 30 years old when he signed that deal.
Okay.
Kind of a bad deal.
Yeah.
But you have to do bad deals. I'm not, you know.
No, no.
And then Corbin Burns. My guy Corbin Burns, 6 years, 210.
What's his age?
30.
I was gonna say.
Now,
Crochet's gonna be hitting the market before he's 30.
Yeah. And so it depends. Like, what do you want to do? Are you talking about a long term deal with maybe less average annual? Or are you talking about a much higher average? So $35 million a year is what Burns is getting, but they give him 6 years. So rather than paying him until he's 38 years old. So, I mean, if Crochet is looking at this right now, he's probably saying, would he sign a $200 million deal? Would the Red Sox even offer $200 million? Or is he saying, maybe I'll just pitch this year and then get more?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think if they offered him $200 million, he would think about taking that right now. 2 years away, he's never done it before. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that would put him as one of the top five starters in baseball. I bet he'd take that.
So
do you think the Red Sox offered it? Hell no.
I don't think they've
given him $200 million. No.
But if they offered him, like, Crochet, I think, should be better than Max Fried. But Max Fried's actually had a couple of good years where he can point to and be like, well, this is what I did. And so if they offered him 8 years, $218 million, that is $27.25 million per year. So it's not even as much as Devers on a per-year basis. It's way less than Bregman on a per-year basis, but it'd be a long-term deal, which they haven't really since Devers.
It's a pitcher, and it's a risk, and I don't feel like they felt like the Chris Sale contract was a good one.
But so
the David Price contract was a good one.
Like, and maybe Bradford will have more info when we talk to him tomorrow, but my guess would be the Red Sox wouldn't offer 218 right now, but Crochet wouldn't take it. If I was him, I wouldn't take it. I would be like, I'm gonna go for the moon here. I'm gonna pitch really well this year, win the Cy Young, and then you guys are in trouble.
I get that logic, but you wouldn't take a top five contract in baseball right now before you've ever done it?
Nope.
Interesting.
If I'm Crochet, no.
So
if you have as much confidence in yourself, I think I would wait.
If the Red Sox are offering him, and I highly, highly doubt they are, but let's play the game. If the Red Sox are offering him that type of contract, then I'd be on the Red Sox side if he was saying no. If they're offering him a Max Fried level contract and he's saying no, I'd be on the Sox side on that one. But I doubt it. I doubt they're doing it because they didn't offer it to Max Fried. They didn't offer it to Corbin Burns. They did, and there's a higher contract, but they didn't offer it for Yamamoto. All guys that they were supposedly in on, they didn't close the deal on any of those guys. So I bet they're nowhere near that number on Crochet.
But Crochet also, and why I think he might turn it down, is he's 5 years younger than Fried and Burns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is significant, especially when you're talking about these pitchers. All the great ones just break down and fall apart, and you end up paying them. Like the last 2 years of Max Fried, maybe even more than the last two. Maybe like the last four on Fried might be a tough contract to give out. But that's one of the reasons why Yamamoto became the highest paid pitcher, I think, of all time, is because he was 25. And normally these guys don't hit the market until they're around 30.
And in fairness, he was completely unproven. In the majors.
Oh, big time. Yeah, big time. And so with Crochet, you're saying, all right, I know there's a lot of risk here, but he has a chance to hit a much bigger payday.
So I don't disagree with the Twitch chat. Let's see him pitch first. Yeah, I get that. But
you could, if you're the Red Sox, you could cost yourself $100 million.
Right. I don't care.
Neither do I.
John Henry, go cost yourself $100 million. It does not matter to me.
No, but for them.
But if you're really worried about that, then pay him now. I don't care about it. So if they want to go year to year with Crochet for the next 2 years, go nuts. But if he's what we think he can be, you better pay him. Yeah. And if you cost yourself a bunch of money in the meantime and the cost skyrockets, that's on you. That's how I feel about this. I don't care if you cost yourself $100, $150, $200 million. It's not my money.
No, don't care. I know.
I just want the player on the team if he's a high-level Cy Young caliber pitcher. So pay him whatever you want. Pay him now. Pay him in 2 years. I don't care. But you better pay him.